live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling. 611 shows on the air, and this is show number 1026. Why do you count the shows, Steve? I don't know. How would we have known there was a show 1000?
That's right. You need to know when your milestones are.
Our next big celebration show, number 1111, is coming up.
Yeah, just that, I guess.
Hey, we got knocked off Dancing with the Stars last night.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the couples?
Terrell Owens.
Oh, did he? T.O.'s gone?
Cheryl and Terrell. Yeah.
Wasn't Cheryl one of the big stars of Dancing
with
the Stars?
Well, yeah, this was her first year back in a long time, and she did great with him because he is super tall.
Yeah.
And there was quite a height difference. But I think he did great, and I don't think he should have gone.
Was there something about he was dating her or something?
What?
He was dating somebody? There was some dating thing from last night I saw on a promo.
Oh, they did a trio, and one of the girls came back, and they were joking around. Yeah, they did threesomes last night. Mm-hmm. So one of them was joking around that they should date.
This was a family show.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was the first season winner, right? What's her name?
I can't remember anybody's name in the show.
Kelly?
Oh, Kelly Monaco. That's who it was. Yeah,
well, so she's about 3 feet tall.
Yeah, they're both short. So neither one of them are dating right now, they said. So Terrell said that if, if he makes it farther, they should go on a date or something. So that didn't happen because obviously he was booted off last night.
Well, I just hope everybody's happy. I'm all about the romance. You know that.
I know. And Frankie's still there. Little Frankie Muniz.
He's a weird little dude.
Yeah, a little odd.
We've got the top six at six we'll do here in just a second. Before we get to that, let me tell you what else is coming up on the show today. We'll check in with Jim Ryan in Texas from ABC News for updates on the horror of the weekend and the shooting of the church on Sunday. My friend comedian Pat McGann will be on in the 9 o'clock hour. He's on Stephen Colbert's show tomorrow night. So good for Pat.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, and he's got a benefit coming up. They're fighting pediatric cancers. He and his wife and family have gone through the incredible fear with their little boy. And as far as I know, he's doing great now.
Oh,
but
good.
They want to pay it forward, obviously. Our friend Marianne Ahern will be on to try to update us on all things political in the state and the city. Coach Q later as well. But I think this is a good time. Let's do the top six at six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Your kicks.
Get your kicks. With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers, the home of the 60 Minute Man.
Item number one is Sutherland Springs, Texas. It appears now a data error. Air Force folks say they failed to follow procedures allowing the Texas shooter, a convicted domestic violence individual and abuser, to allow him to get four guns. They failed to do the proper data trail that would have allowed him to be in the database as it exists. See, this is where the NRA is not wrong, and it's where gun owners aren't wrong. Enforce the laws that are on the books. Doesn't mean we don't need additional ones or better ones, but they're not wrong about this. Get the data chain right so nuts can't go out and buy guns like this guy. Item number two. President Trump has asserted a lot of progress on North Korea and urges a deal to resolve the standoff of the United States. It's the closest thing to a dinner invite or a golf invite with Donnie. Now, you don't want to play golf with Kim Jong-un because, I don't know if you heard, he's only played once. He got 18 holes in one.
Really?
Yeah, that's what people in North Korea think. They think he got 18 holes in one.
That's what his scorecard said, and no one's going to dispute it.
A lot of golfers lie, not like this guy. So he says that he would be willing to meet. Now, the idea that Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump would meet, I mean, that photo op. Are you kidding me? But I don't think the two of them would necessarily meet prior to the fact that their representatives would meet instead. Right. No, Kim Jong-un is represented by his imaginary friend. You know, maybe Dennis Rodman. Maybe Dennis Rodman and the Secretary of State. Who knows?
But didn't the president say that there's no negotiating with this guy?
There's no negotiating with him, and that he's Rocket Man.
He's Rocket Man.
And we're going to rain down fire like the world's never seen. But first we meet.
Okay. Yes. Why didn't you just do that first?
It would have been a good idea. Well, see, that is the problem, because North Korea is now saying, we can't trust this guy. We don't know what he's talking about. And this is why words matter. You can't say one. It's not like one of your wives. You can't say one thing and then do something completely different. Words matter, and interpretation of words on the other side of the world is not necessarily what it's here.
In other words, the president's saying this morning that Chicago is a disaster.
Oh, did he throw that in again?
Yeah, he threw that in this morning. Right?
Okay.
Right, Steve?
Well, we'll get an update. Try to deflect from Texas.
All right, good. We'll get an update on that coming up. Next. Something funky about the Rand Paul story, huh? Rand Paul says, I'm just mowing my lawn and my gated community got my headphones on. Next thing you know, crazy neighbor comes over, tackles me, breaks five ribs. Assaulting a United States senator is a very serious felony, subject to penalties including up to, I believe, 10 years in jail. This guy got a Class 4 misdemeanor. Essentially, his case was dismissed. He might have some community service. And he's in his lawyer, and I believe Rand Paul's lawyer, talking about, well, they just want to get back to being neighbors. Now, this could be as innocent as Rand Paul just wants to get along, and he's a good guy, and he doesn't want to start any troubles for this guy. But doesn't it feel like we're missing something here?
Sort of.
Yeah.
But the holidays are coming.
Something's weird here. Let's go live to Mike Jacobson standing by in Rand Paul's yard by his mower. Doesn't it seem like there's something funkier here?
I'm here around the bluegrass, Steve. And yeah, it's a little funky. There's a rumor that lawn waste was the main issue in the dispute between the neighbor and Mr. Paul. Reporting live from Kentucky, go Wildcats. Mike Jacobson, WGN News.
Thank you for that comprehensive investigation.
What is lawn waste?
So we're thinking like grass clippings?
Grass clippings.
Oh, I thought dog poop.
No, just grass clipping. Well, it could be.
It could be
dog as well, but grass clippings. I'm sure that's all it is. Next! Zach Miller is home and progressing well. He's not going to play football again this year. He may never play again, but he's alive and he still has both legs after that horrific injury. Let's go live to Zach Miller's good leg where Dave Ennett is standing by. Do we know anything more about this story, or is that pretty much a summation?
He issued a statement. He posted a statement yesterday on social media in which he basically thanked everybody for all the support. Fans, the team, the McCaskey family, the doctors. Singled out some of his medical team. And
I don't know, Zach. Everybody says he's a good guy. He's obviously a terrific player.
I cried when I read that post.
That
he said,
beautiful.
I want to go home and hug my children.
He says, I can't wait to get back to Chicago to see my children and give them the biggest hug ever. And when we were at Nebraska on Saturday, that was very cool, the University of Nebraska. He did not play at Nebraska, but he's a Nebraska native and played at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and they did a video tribute to during a timeout in the Northwestern Nebraska game.
Next. Camera's always looking. The woman that was shot on her bike as the Trump motorcade left the Virginia Golf Club and she flipped off the motorcade. She took it upon herself once it hit social media to go to her HR department. Next day she got fired. Her firing is probably not able to be challenged, even though there were some conflicts about somebody else that got fired at work. Blew up into a whole social media thing. I'm guessing this morning she has many job offers, but you don't need to be flipping off the president's motorcade. Come on.
And then posting a picture of yourself doing so on your Facebook
your profile picture. Yeah, I mean, come on. Are you really surprised you got in trouble?
I mean, but isn't that the ultimate free speech, though? The middle finger? I mean,
Well, not for me.
Okay.
No, not for me. I have a big microphone. And over 20,000 people want Kevin James to replace Kevin Spacey on House of Cards. This is one of the funnier petition drives I've seen in a long time. Do you think any of those 20,000 people are serious? They can't be.
I wouldn't think so.
Mall cop, the president of the United States. Next thing you know, we're going to be electing reality stars. That's your top six at six. It's sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, and it's dedicated to Jimmy DeCastro.
They say this, if he didn't have a gun, instead of having 26 dead, he would have had hundreds more dead. So that's the way I feel about it.
And are you
not going to help?
And are you considering any kind of gun control policy going forward?
When you
forward?
Look at because... the city with the strongest gun laws in our nation is Chicago. Mm-hmm. And Chicago is a disaster. It's a total disaster. Just remember, if this man didn't have a gun or a rifle, you'd be talking about a much worse situation in the great state of Texas.
Where do you begin? How about with the fact that the question that he was answering was, would extreme vetting have helped in the case of Texas? I just told you. The answer is yes. Because the Air Force missed this guy's background. Extreme vetting, the same thing he clamors for when it comes to immigration. That's exactly what would have stopped this before it ever started. So shooting his mouth off without knowing what he's talking about, I suppose I should be used to it by now, but it doesn't mean it's not offensive. Along with the fact that he doesn't know that hundreds more people would have died. He doesn't even know the circumstances of the case. And while I salute that hero that stepped up, in both those men that stepped up and chased this guy, regardless of their involvement in eventually ending it, show me where this has happened again and again and again in a country that has 300 million guns in it. Show me where other mass shootings have been stopped. Show me where other people stay. You know, do we know that no one in Colorado in the theater had a gun? Do we know that nobody in the hotel that heard gunshots going off didn't have a gun in Las Vegas, where it's very easy to walk around with a gun? I mean, come on. It's common sense. And then you get to the Chicago piece. I'm telling you, if you live here, I don't care if you're the biggest Trump supporter there is. If you live here, do you think Chicago's a disaster?
A total disaster.
Yeah, a total disaster.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah. Is that how you feel about your city? Because every chance Trump gets to trash Chicago, he takes it. Now, part of the reason is the building behind us here with his name on it. Specifically exists because it's a building with his name on it. He has a licensing agreement. He doesn't own the building. How do you think that, by the way, how do you think the people that licensed his name in all the places that it exists, how are they feeling about all of this? Not just in Chicago, but around the country.
Right.
So, yes, Donald Trump has called your city a disaster and my city a total disaster. A total disaster.
But he's not taking shots like that at other American cities.
Just no.
It only seems to be Chicago.
Well, it's handy, and he knows that Rahm Emanuel has countered him. But, you know, we're not talking about the brightest bulb that ever occupied the White House here either. He's got a few flip cards up there between his ears that come up at those times.
You know, the reality, too, is that Chicago is not the worst. When you look at it per capita and look at the statistics, we are not the worst. St. Louis is worse. There are other cities per capita that are
worse. Chicago's
top
10.
Yeah.
We've earned our top 10 spot. And it's awful. I mean, we're talking about 600 shootings that have led to people dying. That's awful. It's a terrible number. Having said that, you with the first solution, step up. Anyone, raise your hand. If you don't think good people aren't working on trying to end this, you're not paying attention. And the neighborhoods where this is massive, a massive problem, there are, what, seven, eight? I have to look at a map again and count them up. But seven or eight neighborhoods where this is the huge problem, where all the drugs and all the gangs seem to be centralized. And God bless every decent person in those neighborhoods, because that's the vast majority of the people that live there. And if 99% of the most troubled neighborhoods are trying to get it right and 1% isn't, do they deserve the publicity they're getting? No, they deserve to be shut down. But again, if you've got an answer, please direct yourself immediately to the Chicago Police Department headquarters in the mayor's office and show them your plan. Because nobody's phoning this in. And you want to talk about not helping. For the president of the United States to stand up and continually trash Chicago like everybody's just looking the other way, that's shame on you. Not that shame has mattered. 6:29, we'll come back, get the big story in a moment. Andrea is still on the road. I think, is she out all week? No, she's back Thursday.
Back Thursday
Friday.
Or Friday.
Like I said, back Friday. That's my point. We'll come back, get the big story in just a moment at 7:20 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Oh, we got a good one for you today. Well, they're all good. But I like this kid's story. We'll get to him in just a second. Allstate believes good starts young. We know that's true. And works towards inspiring the next generation of leaders to reach their full potential and make the world a better place through service. In the spirit of Allstate's Good Starts Young initiative, you can help us recognize a kid that goes above and beyond for their community. You know, our own big shot boss, Larry Wirt,
yes,
is on the mend, and he could probably use a little help at the house. This would be a great way for a future kid of the week to come up. Maybe a platoon of kids to hang out, run errands for Larry.
He's on the mend?
Yes. Yeah. He had some. He had a minor surgical procedure. Okay. I think he had a breast augmentation.
Really?
To have a bunch of people around when you're feeling better, I think that's a good thing.
I think that would be great.
So, you know, errand runners for Larry.
Does that guarantee you a kid of the week honor?
Sure. On this show? Oh, yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Of course.
Won't be as good as today's kid, though. Nominate a kid for the Allstate Kid of the Week. A kid you know could be featured here on the show, win great prizes, including an Amazon gift card and Lou Malnati's Pizza. Go to WGNradio.com/contest. Submit an entry for a kid between 9 and 18 that you think ought to be Allstate's Kid of the Week. And then tune in every Tuesday to hear the Allstate Kid of the Week here. Let me introduce to you Garrett Mendenhall. I hope I have the young man's name right. Garrett, are you Garrett Mendenhall?
Yes, I am.
Am I pronouncing your last name accurately?
Nope.
Could you pronounce it for me?
Mendenhall.
Mendenhall.
No H.
No H. Mendenhall. Well, I'm sorry about that, Garrett. Thanks for correcting that. How are you?
Good.
Okay, good. Good. What grade are you in?
Fifth.
Fifth grade. All right. We got a story from your dad about something that came up where there was a bully situation where you stepped in. Can you tell me what happened? And you don't have to use names. Just tell me what happened.
Okay. Well, the victim was my friend. And he just we were just walking to his house, and then just some random kid walked up and pushed him onto the stairs, making him fall on the ground.
Was this a friend of yours that got pushed down, or just some kid you knew?
Oh, my friend.
Okay, so you see your friend get knocked down by a guy. It's clearly just being a jerk. Was this kid a bully before? Did you know him to be a bully?
Yes.
All right, so you knew this kid was trouble. What'd you do, or what happened then?
I had to chase after him, and I grabbed him across the waist and dragged him over to Andrew's house, my friend, and then rang the doorbell because he was vandalizing his house as well. So I rang the doorbell, and then whenever Andrew stepped outside, I told him to say sorry. He never did.
All right. Now, but I want to pause here, and I want you to hear what our new pal Garrett did. He grabbed the bully, and what would you say was damaging the house? Was he throwing stuff at it or something?
Yep.
So the guy's throwing stuff at the house where the kid ran in, who he was bullying. Garrett drags him up to the front door, rings the doorbell, going to make him apologize. All right, now you're really involved. All right, so the bully didn't apologize, right?
No, so we just let him go, walked over to his house, and told his parents.
That's right. After he let the kid go, Garrett goes over to the kid's house, knocks on a door, rings the bell, whatever, and you told the parents. Do I have that right?
Yes.
Garrett's a man of few words. He's action man. He's no.
Yeah, no, that's clear.
And then I'm told that the young man's mother came over to thank your parents and you for stepping up.
Yep.
Well, you should feel great about that, dude. You should feel great about it. You may have changed this kid, but at the bare minimum, stepping in to help your pal and not letting a bully get his way, man, that's a great story.
Thank you.
So are you a big guy? Are you a pretty strong dude?
Are you a superhero?
No, I'm just pretty tall.
So you're tall. Are you a strong guy?
I don't know. That's my parents to the side.
Must be a pretty fast kid to have chased him down, right? Right, Garrett?
Good. Yeah, athletically pretty good. And have you ever done anything like this before?
Yep.
Oh, you have? So this is like his service that apparently Garrett's providing. Well, that's great. But what in you, is it just you don't want to see kids taken advantage of? Or what inspires you to do this?
I just, if my friend gets hurt, I want to stick up for them. And I never want to see that happen.
I love this.
That's great.
I love this. Good for you, man. Good for you.
He should have his own security service.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly right. Garrett Mendenhall's security service against bullies who won't even apologize, but I'm going to drag you over and make you apologize anyway. And then when you don't, I'm going to go tell your parents. Now, it's a long name for the company. We're going to have to shorten it up.
Yes.
But maybe we could use initials. You have a question?
Yes. Garrett, so have you seen this kid, the bully, since then, since this all happened?
Yes, I have.
Do you talk to him at all?
Nope.
He stay away from you?
Yes, he does.
I'm guessing he does. Do you know if he's bullied anyone else?
No idea, but probably has.
Oh, you think he has, but you haven't heard that he has?
Yeah.
Well, that's, Garrett, I'm thinking you may have changed him. Garrett, I'll tell you a quick story. I have a special needs brother who got bullied a lot, and I had an older cousin who was a real creep to him, and I was always afraid of the older cousin. Well, we're all waiting for the bus one morning, and he was bullying my brother. And I remember getting unbelievably mad, even though I was scared of this bigger kid, the older cousin. And I turned around and I punched him in the mouth and I knocked him down. It feels good to help somebody that needs help, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, and you didn't punch anybody. We're not advocating that. But stepping in, if you have to, that's a good thing. Garrett, you're a good dude. You are a good dude, man. I'm proud to know you.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we want to thank your dad for telling us about you as well. What's the name of your school?
Village Elementary.
And you said fifth grade?
Yes.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
A crime military? Fighter?
Military. Military.
Okay, there you go. That's right.
There Perfect. You go. That's all you need, man. That's all you need. You have brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have a sister.
And you said one sister?
Yeah, one sister.
Older or younger?
Older.
How much older?
13.
Well, is she nice to you? She better be.
Yes, she is.
Okay, good.
That's I think
good.
Her boyfriends better watch out.
Yeah, no kidding. Garrett, a mess of them.
Yeah.
Listen, pal, I got Lou Malnati's Pizza for you. I've got an Amazon gift card as well. And that's just for being a great kid. Plus, we're going to, of course, send you a certification that you're Kid of the Week. And feel good about yourself, man. You did a really good thing.
Thank you very much.
And thanks for being on the show. Appreciate it, Garrett.
First time
he's all right, you hold on.
Okay. He's a man of few words.
Listen, he's a yapper. I think if we can agree, if he would just have piped down a little bit and not taken over.
He's very modest about what he does.
He's very modest.
He's not looking for the pub.
He doesn't need the pat on the back.
I wonder if he even knew his dad did this.
Maybe not.
Sent it his name.
Maybe not. But that's a good kid. Now, get the visual, right? You see your buddy get knocked down. You chase down the bully who's now throwing stuff at your buddy's house because your buddy got away and got in his house. He's throwing stuff at the house. Garrett drags him to the front door and says, you're going to apologize. The kid's punching and scratching and trying to get away. Garrett only lets him loose after he gets frustrated that the kid won't apologize. The kid's obviously got an issue. He then runs to his house. Garrett chases him to his house and tells the parents, this is what your kid did. And then marches home. The mother, and credit to the mother, came over and said, you got a great kid there, and I'm sorry my kid acted that way.
Good for her.
Yeah. That's a good story.
And I hope she punished the bully kid.
It's a good story. Well, yeah, more than Garrett.
Yeah.
Because Garrett put a whooping on him. And most times bullies, what do? They go away.
Yeah.
You know?
That's why they're bullies.
Yeah, you stand up to them and they go away. Anyway, Garrett's dad told us about him, and thanks to him for doing that as well. That's a good kid of the week. And again, a talker, but a really good kid of the week. And now Dave here with some important words on other things. Wait, stand by, Dave. Do you have a message for us from Gilkey Windows?
No, I don't.
You don't have a message from Gilkey Windows?
I don't have a message.
We were hoping you'd have a message from Gilkey Windows. Oh, look, I found your message from Gilkey Windows.
Oh, thank you, Steve. If you need new windows or doors for your home, call the company recommended by WGN's.
It's 45 minutes into the show, and Joe has already screwed up three things.
Joe never screws
up. Oh, he just screwed up the third thing, 45 minutes in.
It was my fault, because I should have gone through the pile in front of you.
Well, yes, but it's easier to blame Joe.
We like Joe. Leave him alone.
Listen, I'm going to call Garrett.
You're being a bully.
Garrett's going to come down here and take care of the situation.
Yes, he is.
All right, go ahead.
Call the company recommended by WGN's Mr. Fix-It, Lou Manfredini. Call Gilkey Windows. Gilkey manufactures the highest quality vinyl and fiberglass windows in an endless variety of styles and colors. Call Gilkey now and save up to 35% on new windows and doors for your home. Call Gilkey, 888-3-GILKEY. That's 888-3-GILKEY. G-I-L-K-E-Y.
All right, let's get a couple more of these texts on. The question, and it's not a text question of the day, but I just brought this up. Do you agree with Donald Trump, the President of the United States, says Chicago's a total disaster? And if you have a fix for the shootings on the west and south sides, what's your fix? 224, what happened to the guy who told Trump he could fix Chicago in a week? I think we both know that guy doesn't exist. 847, Steve, you're wasting your time. You seem to think Trump will change. Why? He has narcissistic personality disorder. He's never wrong. Just ask him. Yeah, it may well be, but that doesn't mean as president of the United States, you don't have to continue to try to have him raise his game. 847, Chicago is a disaster. $43 to park my car for 3 hours on a Thursday night in a parking garage. I didn't say Chicago was cheap or inexpensive to spend time in. That has nothing to do with Chicago being a disaster.
By the way, have you tried to park a car in Manhattan anytime recently?
Oh, my God, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. You need a mortgage.
Yeah. I would like to know, though, what I'm getting at O'Hare now for the additional parking fees there. I think I'm pretty sure I'm right about this. Mary, you may know. Is it $50 a day now just in the parking garage? I'm talking about the garage closest to the airport.
Not the economy parking.
No. The walk-in from the...
How much to park in there a day?
It's $45 or $50 a day.
Yeah, it's up there.
40.
I think it is around 40.
But don't you get, like, prizes with that?
You get a free car wash at the end of the day.
Yeah. 815, we have a problem with gangs shooting each other. That's the truth of the matter, and no amount of Trump will change that. And, again, a ton of people saying... all Trump wants to do is go after Chicago because of his hatred for Barack Obama. All right, just a few there. Throwing them in for you. It's 6:59. We'll take a break, come back, get you the news with Steve Grzanich, then Jim Ryan in Texas from ABC News, and then update on whatever we know new this morning on the shooting in Texas at the church on Sunday. Coming up on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Our church was not comprised of members or parishioners. We were a very close family. We ate together, we laughed together, we cried together, and we worshiped together. Now most of our church family is gone. Our building is probably beyond repair. And the few of us that are left behind lost tragically yesterday. Please don't forget Sutherland Springs.
It's a very brave woman. That's a Pastor Frank Pomeroy's wife, Sherry. They lost their 14-year-old daughter in the senseless, ridiculous massacre that took place. And she's not kidding, saying we lost most of our church family. The congregation there, about 50 people, and 46, maybe more, killed or injured. And there's only a handful that weren't at church who regularly go there. We continue to try to get as much information as we can to you. Jim Ryan from ABC News is a Texan. And I suppose since you are, this probably feels a little more like a home story. And maybe a little more impactful, if that's fair to say.
Well, yeah, I had never heard of Sutherland Springs before Sunday. A little tiny town out here. But it's like hundreds of other little towns around the state and around the country. So even if you don't know Sutherland Springs, you've never heard of the place, you know a place very much like Sutherland Springs. It's got a couple of gas stations and the churches here. It's been around a long time. The post office across the street, flag flying at half staff now. In a place where people know each other well, they say hello, they wave to you as you're passing on the highway. That's what Sutherland Springs is like. And yeah, it's a Texas location, certainly, absolutely, the way people talk, the way they carry themselves. But it could be anywhere in the South, in the Midwest, anywhere.
The folks that you're running into have to still be in a state of shock, but as information comes in, we start to get pieces of the puzzle here. So what do we know about where he got the gun or guns?
He bought them at a sporting goods store in San Antonio in April of last year. He walked in, he filled out the paperwork, apparently using his own name, and went through the waiting period and was able to purchase these guns, including a Ruger assault-style rifle. But we're hearing that he should not have been able to at all. He shouldn't have legally been able to purchase guns because, as a member of the Air Force, he had been convicted of assaulting his wife and her 11-month-old son. Did a year in confinement and then was drummed out of the military. But word of that conviction and that jail time, the charges, never made it out to the FBI. Didn't get out into the civilian world. And so the background check came up clean, and so he was able to make the purchases. Now, the Air Force wants to know why this has happened, how it happened, and it's called in the Pentagon's Inspector General to get some answers.
We put too much of the instant finger, or point too much of the finger at these gun store owners at times. They're only as good as the data they have in front of them, and this appears to be the case here. Now, what do we know about motive? Anything there?
Well, we know that Devin Kelly, the guy who carried this out the other day, had major problems with his own wife, had for a long time, his previous wife as well, obviously. And apparently her family, his current wife's family. The investigators say that he had been sending threatening text messages to his mother-in-law. He knew that his mother-in-law was from this little town, Sutherland Springs. He lived on the other side of San Antonio. And that she may have been a member of this church, at least an occasional member. So that appears to be what was happening here, what was going through his mind. But investigators say that, so he was targeting his mother-in-law. Why kill 26 people with the goal of killing 50 or 60? It doesn't make a lot of sense. But that appears to be the reason that this church and this community, that these places were targeted.
He came out. He was either shot at the church or shot in the car. I don't know if we know that yet. You can clear that up for me. But he ran, and he had other guns in the car, so he didn't appear to want to die. Was there a thought that he had another plan of more carnage somewhere else?
Yes, and what that is, nobody's really clear. We don't know where he was going. He stepped out. Once he finished shooting up the church, first he fired on the church, shooting at the building, then walked inside, walked up the center aisle, opening fire, killing so many people, children, old people, and people in between, walked to the altar, then turned around, walked back, targeting certain people who were still alive on the floor. Dropped the gun, stepped outside, and there standing across the street was a homeowner who had heard the commotion. He's a former NRA safety instructor. He grabbed his own rifle from he unlocked it out of the gun case and engaged this man in a gunfight. They got into it, and apparently he was struck once or twice. He was wearing a ballistic vest, though. And so he, jumps into his own SUV, drives away. This is Devin Kelly I'm talking about. And then the man with the gun, another passerby in a pickup truck, said, let's go chase this guy and make sure he doesn't do anything else. And so they drove at a 95-mile-an-hour chase, about 5 miles. The SUV wrecked out, and we know now that Devin Kelly was dead at the wheel. It's believed that, yes, he was shot by this Good Samaritan, this neighbor with a gun, but it's thought that he died by suicide. He shot himself to death.
And the mother-in-law he searched for, what is her status?
She was not in church, but we're told, Steve, that her mother was, and that she may have been one of the victims here. So he didn't get his mother-in-law, but he may have gotten his wife's grandmother.
It's a terrible story all the way around. I know there's another briefing coming up. What do you hope to learn?
Well, I mean, I don't know what else can be said. We'll probably learn a little more about this misstep within the Air Force and how the information didn't get out, and perhaps a little more. I'm sure we'll learn more about the victims. We're hearing from some of the survivors now, Steve, about the ordeal and what it was like inside that church. Just a horrific scene.
I appreciate your time. It's Jim Ryan, ABC News. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks.
And again, you know, I mean, Jim's from Texas. You know, I don't care how good you are as a reporter, and he's great, and how much you can distance yourself from the story. He's from Texas.
Yeah.
It happened in his state.
Close to home.
7:19. Traffic. Mary will come back and continue the Steve Cochran Show. Much to do today. Much to catch up on. And Marianne Ahern will join us after 7:30. I think she thought she was booked on a better show. We'll see. It's 7:23. The Steve Cochran Show continues. It's important to remember not the animal that killed the people in Texas, but the people that died in Texas. Just got up Sunday morning, went to church. Should be the safest place there is. And they're gone. Lula White was one. She was the woman we mentioned, the shooter's grandmother-in-law. If, in fact, he's still married, that would be the relative tie. She was grandmother to Devin Kelly's wife. She volunteered frequently at the church, according to friends and her Facebook profile. Another family member, Charity Sales, posted to Facebook, "Aunt Lula will be missed greatly. I don't think there ever was a time I saw her. She didn't have a smile on her face and something crazy fun up her sleeve." Gone. Annabelle Pomeroy is the 14-year-old daughter of Sherry and Frank Pomeroy. You heard Sherry Pomeroy a few minutes ago. The 14-year-old daughter was a church regular, and family said, "We lost more than Belle yesterday. The one thing that gives me a sliver of encouragement is the fact that Belle was surrounded by her church family." And then you heard what else she had to say about those who also lost family members, so many of them. Haley Kruger was 16 years old. She had helped with breakfast that morning at the church. She loved babies and looked forward to a career as a nurse in a neonatal intensive care unit. So we've been robbed of her future as well. And then there's the Holcomb family. It's hard to talk about. 8 people died, all from one family. 8 members of the same family. Brian Holcomb was serving as a guest pastor on Sunday. He lived at a farm in a nearby town with his wife, Carla. The others in the family who died were Danny Holcomb, Brian and Carla Holcomb's son, Noah Holcomb, Danny's 17-month-old daughter, Crystal Holcomb, the pregnant wife of Brian and Kayla's other son, John, who survived the shooting, and 3 of Crystal Holcomb's 5 children, Emily, Megan, and Evelyn. John Holcomb was his stepfather. They're all gone. Authorities have included Crystal Holcomb's unborn child in the death count, obviously. 2 of the children survived and are in the hospital with John Holcomb. Tara Elise McNulty also died. She was a close friend of the family, lived with Brian and Carla, and called them mom and dad. And the list goes on. But you think about that Holcomb family. 8 people from 3 different generations. I mean, you essentially wiped out a generation of their family.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, it's funny what you think about at times like that, right? Because I think about how hard it is to get my small extended family together for a holiday dinner or a birthday or whatever.
Right.
And these people were close enough. They're all going to church together. And they're gone.
How do they ever get through that?
I have no earthly idea. That the list, you know, we should probably make that list available because people should know who these people are. And we'll push it out on Twitter at Cochran Show and Steve Cochran Show as well. And I got to salute Anderson Cooper. One of the things Anderson Cooper does well, and it's a shame that this has become literally a regular feature, is he focuses on the victims and not the assassins and make sure their stories get told. It's 7:27. We're back with the big story in a few minutes on 7:20 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN.
Live in the Allstate Showcase Studio, 7:39 in the morning in Chicago, wherever you're listening around the country, around the world. Thank you for that. And CLTV joins us at 9. My friend Marianne Ahern standing by the phone on her way to Springfield, so you don't have to go. Did you lose a bet or what?
I know. It's a long journey down, but we need to figure out what they're up to down there about the sex harassment and bump stocks and right-to-work zones. There's a lot on their plate for the next couple of days.
No doubt about it. Leader Durkin wants to set up a hotline. This is not a bad idea, but if we had an IG, the equivalent of an inspector general for this, the equivalent of an HR department for Springfield, could some of this have been maybe headed off before it got started?
Oh, of course. Can you imagine? It's been almost 3 years that they have not had a legislative inspector general. And now they have hired someone, Julie Porter, a former U.S. attorney, by all accounts, a brave person to take this job.
Right.
But what kind of staff is she going to have? How is she ever going to get through all of this? When they've written the rules right now they have to even change them, that if you don't speak up within the year of your allegation, then forget it. It won't be investigated. So that's also on the plate, that they are going to rewrite some of their own rules.
Is that on Governor Quinn and Governor Rauner, since it was, overlapped the two terms, or is it on somebody else?
Well, I really think it's on the legislative leaders. It's on all of them. And Speaker Madigan has so much power, as well as Senate President John Cullerton. But the Republican leaders, the legislative leaders, should have also pushed as well. They were all focused on a budget, as they should have been. But, hey, that's the part of their juggle act. You can't only look at one problem. And this, with now 26, 27 some different complaints, not all necessarily sex harassment complaints, but there's complaints that have just not gone anywhere. No. Perhaps, as someone described it to me, it would be, yes, there have been a couple of staffers, but no boss. No one to say, okay, sure, Take it to the next step.
Right. And if you're a female that's been harassed and you've got nowhere to go, what is your answer? Get out of the career you've chosen? I mean, that shouldn't be your next choice.
Exactly. Now, they're going to have sex harassment training for the House members apparently tomorrow on Wednesday, and for the Senate on Thursday. Part of me says, okay, where, honest to goodness, you need to have someone tell you that if you're a married man and you're sending 400 right, Facebook right, messages right, to a woman, that's not a good idea. What training do you need for that? That comes back to, hey, what's right and wrong?
Well, I don't know. I don't remember if we talked about this off the air, but I've certainly said it on the air many times. For all the men that are listening, let me speak for all of you now. You know when you're sexually harassing someone. You know when you've crossed the line. And anybody that has ever made a condition of employment some measure of sex talk or action, yeah, you're over the line. It's done.
Right. And now there's word that there is a current employee of the governor who is facing his own investigation, as well as perhaps someone, one of the folks who left this summer in the big purge. So, yes, there today, even the Tribune says that the governor's very tame response to sex harassment, he's going to be asked more about this. This isn't just going to fly away with a new legislative IG.
Yeah. Common sense would tell you, right? I mean, a Harvey Weinstein thing blows up and suddenly, careers are ended, and frankly, appropriately so, until we know more of some really major names. So we can't believe there's only one guy in Springfield that was doing this. And I'm kind of surprised we haven't heard this coming out of City Hall.
Oh, right. And in fact, they are trying to quietly also come up with their own training, because to the aldermen, to the elected officials, that's where, a lot of folks that work for a big corporation have some kind of in-service training every year, whether it's just sitting at a computer and going through some questions and reminding right, you, this isn't right. This is not a good idea. So what about all these guys at City Hall and gals? So apparently they're also quietly this week. They love the focus on Springfield and not them. But come on, you know darn well that it's not just at the state capitol.
Yeah, and I guess the ultimate for me is just a summation is this. Any guy that thinks it's okay to grab him by the your buddy part here is not redeemable by a computer program or questions answered or a classroom for sensitivity training. I'm not saying it's a bad idea to have it. I'm just saying, don't expect it to cure the problem, and don't think you're off the hook to not do more.
Right. Absolutely.
So
let's hope that this legislative IG has some folks to help her get her job done.
What is going on with the governor's race at this point? Because I just wish I knew more about one of the Democratic candidates. I can't think of his name. Oh, that's right. He's on TV again. Mr. Pritzker. He is spending mountains of money here. When do the others get in? When does Chris Kennedy start to get serious about this?
I know. Everyone is waiting to see. Is he, where's, you know, how do you match someone who has $3.6 billion and can write these checks? His ads are effective. Clearly, his poll numbers are going up. But others want to hear from as well. Chris Kennedy, Daniel Biss. Those are probably the top three. We have another few candidates, a couple from downstate. But it is difficult to know what's going on when all you do is hear Pritzker all the time.
The Rauner commercial with the governors of Missouri, Indiana, and Wisconsin on Mike Madigan is brilliant.
It is effective.
Do we know if Speaker Madigan has had his head explode over this?
Oh, he responded rather quickly to the ad with a statement. And, you know, when millennials are watching it at my house and say, ooh, wow, that's a good ad.
Right,
you know,
right.
I think, okay, these kids, they're not, maybe they need to get to the voting. Let's make sure they vote as well. But folks think that ad is brilliant. You're right.
You mentioned a bump stock thing. When Vegas happened and we all learned what bump stocks were, it was going to be a no-brainer. And the NRA even stepped up and said, yeah, it'd be a good idea to outlaw this. Now we're 2 or 3 weeks, 4 weeks down the road, and it's very quiet. What's the status of the bump stock issue in Illinois?
Well, they tried to pass a bill 2 weeks ago. This is the second week of the veto session. The first week, they did not get it through. They did not have enough votes. The ones who complained that did not vote for it said it was too broad, that there were too many extras added on to the bill. So they're going to try it again. Are they only going to put the limit on bump stocks? We'll see. I'm hearing there's two or three bills out there. One of them, Marty Maloney, who still wants this more wide-ranging bill, says he wants to try for his bill one more time, but we'll see. I think if perhaps it was only the bump stocks, it might be able to eke through.
That's one of the complaints in Congress, as you know as well, that even when there has been some headway and some momentum to get some gun law changes through, that too many extras are added on. So it would help to have some focus here to do the little things. But frankly, these are the little things. You're talking about clip size. You're talking about the bump stocks. And the clip size issue in the magazines, this is simply to limit the carnage once the shooting has started, because there's no perfect plan here. But sitting around and arguing about it and not doing anything isn't doing anything.
Absolutely. And you would think in blue state Illinois, which I guess maybe we're not as blue as we used to be, that we would be able to perhaps limit the sale of bump stocks.
Right. Right. It should be a no-brainer. We know now that the shooter was in Texas was a domestic violence, an abuser, and convicted and did time and still got through. With the financial problems we have in the state of Illinois, do we know anything about proper reporting? Because, again, the people that sell these guns are only as good as the data in front of them.
Absolutely. I thought of that, too, Steve. I mean, I believe the Illinois State Police is one of the places, as well as, of course, the federal agencies of ATF. You know, but I recall that the Illinois State Police saying at one point, this is several years ago after some awful incident of, oh, my God, we don't have enough people to go through everybody who has been declared mentally ill or someone has raised a question. So it does give you pause to say, oh, my gosh, how many other folks are there out there like this suspect? Am I supposed to be wary of every neighbor of mine? And to say that now the churches are going to have some kind of officer at the back of the church or their own training. We've had training at our office, you know, of how to either run, hide, what to do. We used to have tornado drill training. That's long gone. Now we have active shooter training in schools and in offices.
Well, it's amazing.
And perhaps churches.
Yeah, it's amazing when you think little kids We had, you know, Dave, you'll remember this because you're much older than Marianne and I.
Yeah, of course.
But the nuclear training, hide under your desk, duck and cover. And then you'd have fire drills. But the fire drills were it. Nobody ever thought about training kids in schools and now, as you said, workplaces to know how to run and hide from a shooter. And it's become a regular part of the routine.
Yeah, yeah. Very, very scary time.
All right. Well, listen, I tell you to have fun in Springfield, but frankly, I don't see it happening.
Well, we'll just have, you know, a delicious horseshoe sandwich on you.
Ah, fantastic.
Ever had one?
I'm going to leave it up to you for now, but I'll the minute Mr. Madigan agrees to come on and answer my questions, I'll come down and have two. So, in other words, there'll still be two there. Okay. But have a safe trip. Thanks, as always.
Ow. All the best. Thank you.
That's Marianne Ahern. Follow her on Twitter. She's a really good follow on Twitter as well, at Marianne Ahern. And, of course, on NBC5. NBC5. 7:55, the Steve Cochran Show. I'm Steve, your radio friend. I'm an Android man. How many Android people we have on a show other than me?
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Andrea's gone.
She has an iPhone.
She's an Apple person.
Yeah. Sandberg's gone. She's an iPhone person.
Yep.
Grzanich, are you iPhone or are you an Android?
I am an iPhone.
Am I the only Android guy in this building?
You might be.
We're in the shadow of the brand new Apple store. Doing kind of well, by the way. A lot of people lining up every day. But I have a list here of the most expensive apps you can buy for your new iPhone after you buy your $1,000 iPhone X. But let me give you the Android side first.
Okay.
I don't know if I mentioned, I'm an Android man.
Heard that.
There's something called the Abu Mu Collection. It's $2,400.
What? The app is $2,400?
Well, not really, Steve. It's only $400 a piece, but they have the full collection. You need all six.
Wow.
Developer Abu Mu, instead of having just one expensive app, has a series of six. They're all in the Google Play Store. They are simply the names and pictures of precious gems. So you get a picture of precious gems, and it's $400 for each precious gem. Collect all six, it's $2,400.
What are you doing with them?
You should get the gem itself for that kind of money.
I think what you're doing is you're showing people that on your phone so they can take you in to have the authorities check you out.
Right? It's sort of like when you used to give to charity and they would send you a picture of the person you were adopting.
No,
but the opposite.
No, that's nicer. Yeah, exactly. 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 Now, this is interesting. Mobile Accessibility USA. It's $99. This allows blind folks to use smartphones. The apps include a dialer, a contacts app, an alarm, a calendar, email, web browser, settings, and others. Sounds like a great idea, right? Well, it's got a crappy 3.6 rating in the Google Play Store out of 5. It's like, if you're going to do this, it's a great thing. Maybe develop the app so it works better. How about $400 for the most expensive app? $400. I mentioned the $400 app before.
Mm-hmm.
This one actually won the title when they were running a contest. There's a lot of these that claim the most expensive app, but this one just shows you a picture of a diamond. You see where they're going here? This is when nerds have fun. Now, let's go over to the iPhone side of things. Log Me in Ignition. Log Me in Ignition. You can get this on your iPhone now. There's a sort of reasoning behind it. If you read the description provided by the makers of the app, this is a legacy version where the current customers continue to use. Brand new customers won't think twice about paying much for it. Log Me In is exactly what the company wants it to do and what wants and wants you to pay for. It's loading here. What's new in the new version? There's a language platform for it looks like every language on the planet. And essentially, I don't know that I understand this entirely, but it appears it logs you into everything else on your phone. Oh, by the way, it's $1,399.
Oh.
So this free app is not the right one.
No. You want the one that's $1,399.
Oh, good. Yeah, because what would I want? Why would I want a free app?
Right. How about a Cyber Tuner? $999.99. Cyber Tuner is a professional piano tuning app that will cost you as much as a decent piano that you could probably pick up. All right, maybe you can't get a piano for $1,000.
But I think that much to get a piano tuned.
No, it doesn't. No.
You could buy one of those cool keyboards for under $1,000.
Hey, you need to know, Steve, what's going on in the Arabian Gulf and Kuwait?
Sometimes, yes.
All right. You can find out where the boats are in those waters with a GPS tracking device called K-Gulf. It'll tell you what's going on in the Arabian Gulf and what sort of boating and shipping is going on there. $500.
You could track your gas from the source.
That's exactly right.
Maybe it helps if you're a pirate.
It would help if you were a pirate.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. There's something called agro, thinking about pursuing an exciting career in agronomy. Well, I would say be friends with Orion Samuelson. He could probably hook you up. But agro allows agronomists to manage all their details. Tailored inspection reports, eliminates the automation of having to run a lot of paperwork in your greenskeeping business or your lawn keeping business. Agro's $299.99. That sounds crazy, but if it works as well as they say it would, it's probably a good call.
I bet you Orion would be your friend for free.
No. The Orion app is listed here as well.
He should have his own app.
Yeah, it's $499.99.
Oh, okay. Right.
Yes. There's also food delivery apps that cost more than the food. There's an iPad app made for dentists to help patients gain a visual understanding of dental conditions and treatments. This is something where they would show you the same diseased mouth that you have on the app, so you have a sense of it. I'd be just going, look, I don't want to see it. Just fix it.
Yeah,
the most expensive iPhone apps. But again, I'm an Android man.
Okay, but there are expensive Android apps, too.
Yeah, but right? I think what we've learned here, Dave, in our little lesson segment,
what we've learned here
is the majority of apps that are free are just fine. You've got to put up with some ads. Mm-hmm. But the most you should ever spend on an app would be, Steve, what do you say, $10?
$10, even that's kind of high.
High end.
Maybe $5.99.
Yeah, $4.99, yeah. $5.99 to eliminate the ads if you choose to do it. I don't ever want to eliminate the ads because the ads are paying bills. In other words, if you like the app enough to use the app, pay the extra money and support the app developer that made the app that you like it, because that's where they're getting their money, advertising. I hope we've all learned something here today.
I did. Just now. Yes.
We'll come back. Dean and I will talk about show business behind show business's back. The news first. That's next on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
Live to Channel 9. Dean Richards standing by. Good morning. How are you?
How are you, my friend?
Doing fine.
Apologize in advance if you hear noise in the background.
Why? What's wrong?
There's some kind of toy demonstration, a toy segment that's going on.
I'm looking at the monitors now here in the studio.
Can you see Paul?
I see Paul Conrad wearing something odd on his head.
It's
Larry's being strapped into something.
Yeah, the odd thing that Paul is wearing on his head is rubber dog do.
Oh.
All the kids are wearing it.
Yeah, I suppose. And all this is like an example of stuff that we should spend money on for Christmas.
I'm guessing so.
So Paul and Larry are taking kickbacks.
Well, I don't know about that.
Well, I think that's our opinion. Official opinion of this segment.
Seems like if you're wearing dog do on your head, that is an implied endorsement.
Yes, Paul and Larry are taking kickbacks from the toy segment. That's our implied opinion.
Can you hear the hilarity that's
going on? This segment. I'm hearing more kind of a rumbling of an angry mob. Not so much...
That may just be that Larry's out of the studio. He has to actually talk to news writers.
Oh, he must hate that.
Yeah.
Regular people don't talk to Larry.
Yeah, normally you're not supposed to look at Mr. Potash directly
in the
eyes.
People know that. Here's what's on the list. Taylor Swift, Kevin Spacey, Brad Paisley, the Jeff Awards, which I assume you were at last night.
I have a list that makes it sound like I was.
Perfect. That's what we were hoping for. And Ozzy Osbourne said it's his final tour. Before we get traffic and come back and do all that, do we know if P. Diddy's changed his name again, or is he
actually there was a clarification. Yesterday I told you that he now wants to be called Brother Love.
Yeah, I thought he wanted to be called Dave, but that was incorrect.
Yeah, no, Dave was never considered, but yesterday he announced Brother Love, and now today he's saying he was just kidding.
Oh, so he's back to Diddy?
Yeah, P. Diddy.
Yeah, P. Diddy, Diddy, or P.P.
Yeah.
No, it can't be one of them.
Do-wah-diddy. Diddy-dum-diddy-do.
Nothing sounds more hip hop than doo-wah diddy diddy dum diddy doo.
Song from 1964.
State 18, more
also,
Dean.
Yes. Also, I didn't have time to put it on the list.
Oh, well, let me write it on the list.
Well, because I just got it a few minutes ago.
Yes.
You know, these real estate listings that I.
Oh, have you got a honey?
They come into me, you know, just at the last second. And I actually have a couple of real estate honey of deals. One's a done deal already. You can't get in on it.
Okay, got it.
But I do have one deal that you and all of our listeners can bid on this morning.
Well, everybody likes when you give the listing and I add up how much money I have in my wallet.
I'll get my Century 21 jacket.
You spend any time looking at BuzzFeed?
I do once in a while.
You know, they have the surveys all the time and the little quizzes you can take.
Yeah.
I don't want to oversimplify this, but I think we can do it. It's a three-question test to determine if you're going to heaven or hell.
Ooh.
Let's find out if Dean's going to heaven or hell when we come back as well.
I could tell you right now and save you some time.
Well, let's see if you're right.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh. Back to Dean at Channel 9.
Top man, pro and
all right, so I've got a list here of all the things Dean knows that we don't know. Let's start working through it with Taylor Swift news. What's the news? As you know, I'm a Swiftie.
I know you are, so I'm wondering how you feel about this, because apparently Taylor Swift's legal team is threatening a website that published a story that implied that Taylor Swift's popularity is gaining popularity among white supremacists.
White supremacists love Taylor Swift?
That's what this article alleges.
Well, they also claim they love Papa John's pizza. Did you catch that story?
I did not.
White supremacists, supposedly and Papa John is quite upset about this, understandably, that the official pizza place for white supremacists is Papa John's.
really?
It shows up online. He's not happy, understandably.
Mm. You'd think that, you know, you'd be happy that anyone likes your pizza.
Well, their money's probably still good, but it's not a great marketing strategy.
I imagine, but so this is kind of similar. There's this website called Popfront. I wrote this big article saying that Taylor Swift is extremely popular with the white supremacists.
Well, haters gonna hate.
Taylor Swift's attorneys not so happy about this.
I'm guessing.
And they sent a legal letter saying that this is provably false and defamatory. They're demanding a retraction. They're demanding that this be taken down by the website. So the ACLU has gotten involved, and they are defending this article.
Oh, boy.
Saying that it is constitutionally protected speech and that Taylor Swift and her legal team have no right to tell this website, and particularly the author of this article, what they can or cannot say.
Well, here's the thing. I've given it a lot of thought since you brought it up a minute ago, and I'm with Taylor Swift. I'm with Taylor Swift on this, even if it means less rights for Americans and a violation of the Constitution as we know it to be written. I'm a Swiftie.
So Taylor Swift over the Constitution.
Yes. Yes, that's how I feel.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. That's maybe we should settle all. Maybe we don't even really need a Supreme Court anymore.
Nope. Put it to the Taylor Swift test.
From now on, we just ask Taylor Swift what she thinks about important legal issues.
How about Brad Paisley and John Fogerty? What'd they do?
They did a concert last night right outside of the USS Iowa. It was a free concert for retired and active military and their families.
Well, that's cool. Good for them.
They put on a hell of a show. It was on, some of it was on Jimmy Kimmel last night as well. It's on the web. It's on YouTube. If you missed it last night, they sounded great, and it was just a really great thing to
nice.
Do to salute veterans just ahead of Veterans Day on Saturday.
The Jeff Awards. This is the Theater Awards of Chicago.
These are the sort of the I guess we would call them the Tony Awards of Chicago.
Right.
These are the Equity Jeff Awards.
And who is Jeff?
Joseph Jefferson was the third president of the United States.
Wow. I see why he'd have his own award thing.
Yeah. I honestly have no idea who Joseph Jefferson was.
But it is Joseph Jefferson.
But it's
do you know why it's not called the Joes?
Mm, No.
All right, I'm going to continue to ask you questions you have no answers to.
I'll find out, though. I'll learn the answer to this. But anyway, it's the local Tony Awards.
Mm-hmm. Big winner?
Tony was the fourth president of the United States.
I don't think that's true.
I don't know if you know if that's true.
Yeah, Tony Madison.
People in theater much more influential in the early colony days than now. The Paramount Theater in Aurora took the most awards of any other theater last night.
For them.
They took 8 awards. Their production of Sweeney Todd, The Demon Barber of Fleet mm-hmm. Street, won 5. Their production of Little Mermaid won 3. The Court Theater in Chicago took honors for the best play for Blues for an Alabama Sky. Smokey Joe's Cafe at the Drury Lane won best review. We'll put a whole list of all of the winners of these Jeff Awards up on the website.
Ozzy's final tour, Ozzy Osbourne?
Yeah, he announced that he's going to call it quits with touring. The tour will begin next May in Mexico. It probably will be coming to Chicago. They're going to be announcing specifics on the dates sometime after the first of the year. And
Jared!
They're hoping that Ozzy will remember to show up to some of them.
Jared! That's the opening song.
Isn't that nice that a man's career is really pretty much summed up in one scream like
yes.
that?
Kevin Spacey update.
Latest with Kevin Spacey is that he had a film that is still scheduled to come out in December. It's a film about J. Paul, in which he plays J. Paul Getty.
I don't like its chances.
About the kidnapping of J. Paul Getty's son. The movie is called All the Money in the World. It has been pulled from the American Film Institute's prestigious festival that they have in Los Angeles.
Am I remembering this right? He didn't want to spend the money on the ransom.
That's how I kind of remembered it also.
I think that's right.
Yeah. Michelle Williams is in the movie. Mark Wahlberg is in the movie. Right now, they're saying they're still going to release the movie into theaters in December.
And they're going to say on the... I've already seen the trailer. It says, starring Spevin Casey. No one will know.
How would you like to be Michelle Williams and Mark Wahlberg? You finished this film that's
not great.
Supposed to be up for Oscar consideration, and then you're like, he did what?
And much like Harvey, it appears everybody who has accused him is their accusations are standing up. He's not denying them.
Yeah. The other thing with Kevin Spacey, there's a change.org petition mm-hmm. that's going on. Fans of the TV show House of Cards are upset that the show is being canceled because of Kevin Spacey. So they are petitioning that instead of canceling the show, that Kevin Spacey be replaced with Kevin James.
I know, it's ridiculous.
On the show.
Were they just looking for a random Kevin?
Stupid.
They call Kevin James an American treasure.
I went to school with a kid named Kevin Yeager. He was fun. Want to put him in there, too?
Let's put him in for
Kevin
a week.
Kevin Pell?
Everybody gets a
Kevin
week.
Powell. Kevin Powell should be the new
friend. I had Kevin Murren for a kindergarten who ate paste. Would
there you
be
go.
Good?
Let's put him in.
I used
the paste
to paste. I used to love paste. It's delicious.
Oh, it's just flour and water.
Not recommending to you kids trying it, but I was a big fan of paste back in the day.
Now, Kevin Spacey's got a plan ahead because his career is in very, very deep doo-doo here. So I would assume his house is up for sale. That's right. It's time to go to the real estate listings, kids.
Well, we don't have his house up for sale just yet.
Well, let's play the music anyway.
You know, Steve, you know, when you're in trouble like this, you need some place to hole up.
Yes.
And that has not been completely satisfied just yet. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that in my spare time that I am real estate agent to the stars. And, oh, man, have I been busy lately. We just closed, Steve, on a deal for Kim Kardashian and Kanye West.
Oh.
I hear the kids love them.
Yeah.
They just sold their Bel Air mansion.
Come on.
$18 million we got for that one.
Well, that's not... Now, what was the asking price?
Well, they spent $9 million mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. buy this property just 4 years ago.
And
they
because Kardashians are gold.
They put a few million into the house.
Here's the problem. You
but
can't
they
fumigate.
You
can't fumigate the Kardashians out of that house. You're never going to be able to do that.
Sometimes, no matter, even with vinegar, you can't get the stink out.
But that's not the honey of a deal.
Well, that's one of the deals that we just...
But you're closed, that one.
That
what's available
done.
To me?
That one's done. Well, here are two things that are available right now. Mad Men star John Hamm bought a two-bedroom penthouse on the Upper West Side of New York for $2.5 million a few years ago. He broke up with his girlfriend. He doesn't want to sell it, but he'd like to rent it.
Okay. How much?
It's 1,000 square feet.
Uh-huh.
This may seem a little bit high, but he's looking for $14,995 a month for a 1,000 square foot apartment.
I'd like to hear my other option.
Don't say no just yet.
Yes.
Don't say no, because I do have one more honey of a deal. Bad romance is good for real estate. Katy Perry bought up two homes in the Hollywood Hills when she was married to that Russell Brand guy.
Yep.
They're two homes. They kind of made it into a compound. It's a 2.3-acre lot, two-story guest house, fitness center, security guard house. I know you like that. You like dressing up and sitting in the security guard house.
Absolutely.
This one, Steve, I can get you for a cool $9.4 million.
That seems like a deal, especially that 1,000-foot ripoff that's going on in New York. All right, I got my wallet. 20, 40, 60, 80, 120. 40, 60, 80, 200, 20, 40, 50, $252.
I can kick in.
What do you got?
I got a 5, 6, well, I got a 20.
You guys walk around with a lot of money.
Here, 26.
60? Here's 60 more.
So all right, that so now
did I mention that there is lush greenery around this place also?
Hey, did we mention we're throwing 320 in cash at you? I mean, what other cash offer do you have?
Steve, this has tremendous curb appeal.
I'll go 340, not a penny more.
White facade?
All right, 341.
Too hard to wash.
I'll be happy to submit your offer.
Please submit my bid and get back to me.
I will do that.
That's Dean Richards. By the way, the good news for you is we don't have time to do the BuzzFeed quiz to find out if you're going to heaven or hell.
Oh, I did it during the break. I'm going straight to hell.
No, you didn't. I did. Did you really? Hey, but you didn't get that you were going to hell.
No, I did. I'm going straight to hell.
Well, it's probably not a good time to tell you I'm going to heaven.
Like, you know, with something like that, a survey like that, can it take like 20 seconds to, you know, process?
There's a lot of people they got to get
through. Mine was instant. I hit, you know, click for results. Boom.
There you are.
Instantly. Didn't even think about it.
Well, I'm sorry I'm not going to see you then, but the segment's been fun.
Yeah, I have a feeling that we may be reunited in another life.
I'm not joining you.
One place or another.
Say hi to Larry, but don't look him in the eye. We'll come back with a big story in Coach Q next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
It's the Coach Joe Quenneville, sponsored by Hooters, the original wing joint. Dave, I've never said this before. You know, Hooters is not just a place to get wings. It's a way of life.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you can look it up. Coach Joe Quenneville joins us now. I understand there's a scavenger hunt for goals going on. Where do you think we're going to find them?
We gotta find them and find them quickly. We've been I've been a little snake bit in the scoring department. It's been a little while now going on. We scored some timely power play goals in the two prior games to the last game, and then last game we were dry in a lot of ways, but certainly. The games, the last three games are almost comparable, low scoring, tight. Whoever scores first got a big advantage, and we're certainly disappointed in the offense and the production. And we're just sitting around here talking right now, going into practice day here today, that we got to get a little bit more comfortable with the puck and find ways to incorporate a little bit more offense, whether it's net presence, play recognition, but more so with the puck, keeping it and finding ways where you can make plays off of that.
You think about it, this is the same team that got 10 on opening night. And you go, it's one of the maddening things about the game, because it's not different than baseball and other games. You get on hitting trends where you hit well and then it goes away. You get on scoring trends where you score well. Do you like what you're seeing on the power play? You see an improvement?
I think the last three games, the power play's been a little bit better, a little bit more predictable. I think we're shooting the puck more. Our entries have never been really a problem all year. I think the net presence a little more consistent. At the end of the day, we're looking for production, so it's a it's been indecent. We haven't had a ton of opportunities on the power play to really get a great assessment, but I think for the most part, those two timely goals in our last two games prior to our Montreal game, so it's a We think it's been okay. Maybe so. There's a trend that we're, but I think it hasn't lit up the 5-on-5 game offense that we're looking for.
Well, on the 5-on-5 game, Joel, is it a matter of the shots? Do you like the kinds of shots that you're getting?
Well, sometimes you gotta know that there's certain opponents that you're gonna play games with that you know that don't expect a high quality or high quantity chance game. You know that you gotta have patience certain nights that we expect to play a low scoring game or a low chance game and play it accordingly, because otherwise you're gonna expose yourself and don't give yourself a chance to win. That's kind of Minnesota when I say that, and then Montreal, that game was kind of tighter than than normal, but probably based on the way the score was. And Philly has a little bit more openness to their game, and it was a Crow having a great game, and we had a ton of good chances in that game too. But at the end of the day, we got to light it up, and I still think that we had enough chances in two of the games, but I think across the board, we're seeing a little bit more offense in the league this year. We started, like you said, like we're the Globetrotters one night. And now we made unbelievable plays, and now we're having trouble keeping the puck. So I think that's what we got to find, that comfort and balance that that we feel we're capable of doing.
Well, you talked about Crow, and obviously had a tremendous run here and the first star of the week. Are you okay? Obviously, you want to score more goals, but when you're in games like that against Minnesota, against Montreal on Sunday night, okay leaning on him the way you have?
Well, when we looked at our schedule, and we had 4 days off after the back-to-back, and Crow rarely or seldom plays in that role or in that spot.
Right.
And we wanted to get fours in there, too. We got a similar set this coming weekend that he's going to get a game for sure. And so that was his thought process, his success of wanting and enjoying playing his hometown team was part of that decision as well. And he always plays well against Montreal, and we've had success, and a lot of it goes to him. So it was part of the thinking behind it. And at the end of the day, he did what we wanted him to do, is give us a chance to win the game. And we didn't give him any run support. I think that was the tough part. But Crow's been outstanding, and well deserved getting that nomination and accomplishment of Player of the Week.
He's been ridiculous. I mean, just as good as I've seen him play. Saad and Kaner, you like what you're seeing from those guys, even though it's not getting in the net right now?
It's been okay. We're looking for, I think that line should be, we should be getting some production more from that group, or some any line right now for
sure.
That matter. And
sure.
Hopefully that line would maybe get us going a little bit more in the offensive ways. I think that whether it's Johnny's line, that line, I think all our lines are capable of scoring and making plays. And you talk about Tommy Wingles and his group. They generate a lot of zone time and offensive zone possession and energy as well. So they've been doing a really good job of, fulfilling their role and job description. And, just need, some offense. And I think that, because our team game without the puck has been okay. I just think with it, we can be better.
Hard not to like a guy named Tommy Wingles. Sounds like a sports bar. Hey, I'll meet you over at Tommy Wingles. all right, Flyers and I'm getting
Carolina Saturday.
Yeah, Flyers Thursday, then Carolina, like a mini road trip, and then Jersey and the Rangers back here. So you get a little whiff of the East, little look at them. We don't get much of a look at them, but what do we need to know about the Flyers?
Well, we saw the Flyers, and it's a fun little mini road trip too. It's a mom's trip, so with Rocky and John and the way they treat us when we go on these trips, the mums look forward to it. I think there's incentive with everybody having their mums around, and I think there's everybody's so excited about it and
scare the goals out of them.
Town. So it's always a fun 4 days for everybody. So we're looking forward to that, and hopefully we can find how we can take care of Philly right off the bat, which is going to be a good test because they're fast, they're quick, they got a really active defense, and And puck management is going to be important in that game, and it's something that we want to make sure that we make them defend, because they're a little bit light on the back end right now with some injuries. So it'll be a good test right off the bat, and Carolina is a fast team. We got a lot of former teammates over there, so that'll be an interesting game itself.
Who do you bring on the mom's trip? Who do you bring?
I bring my mom. She's all excited. She loves it. And it's probably your fourth one here. I love how we do it. We alternate years, moms and dads, every other year.
Yeah.
And everybody looks forward to it. They at the end of it, they're just wiped out. They see how we travel, and they realize how spoiled we are with
sure.
the accommodations on airplanes, hotels, buses, games, suites, food, morning, noon, night. Oh my God, it doesn't stop. So she got to watch her what she eats, because she'll there's so many options that she loves it.
I'm guessing she's pretty hockey smart. I'm guessing your mom has a lot of hockey knowledge. Will she be addressing the team?
Maybe we should put her in there one day. And have some fun with it. I know my mom, though, she wouldn't do that. She doesn't say too much about what's critical, but
I'll bet she knows the game, though, right? How could she not?
She's not bad.
Yeah. Well, listen, if any of the moms step up, what was it? Shawzy's dad was the knucklehead on the dad's trip one year, I think. But if any of the moms
step up. There's always some entertainment on the dad's trip, but I always find that the moms, they love it and they get along well. And we got some new moms to meet as well. So it's always a new group, and it's always I think they always look forward, and they look out for one another, and make sure everybody's ready to go and ready at game time too. So it's fun watching everybody interact.
I'll bet it's got to be a fun trip, and I'm sure the guys love it as well. I just wonder though if not because of anything I know, but if Mrs. Wingles comes up and takes you aside and says, "Hey, coach, I'd like little Tommy to play a little more often." I mean, come on, that could happen.
I think that over the years, when we are in squirts and peewees and bantams, and you're out there, and it's almost like okay, and you get you can get influence from the parents,
right. Not so much now.
At our level here, I think we're safer up here.
Well, have a great time with the moms. I just feel like Caner's breaking out. I mean, this is the time of year. I feel like you guys are ready to go on an extended run. So hopefully that starts with the Flyers. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
All right, I like your prediction there last week, so you're right on.
I was right on.
That's right.
And I'm guaranteeing Thursday night's win. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, thanks.
All right. That's Coach Joel Quinn.
I think you should go and your mom should go.
That would be so great.
That would be great. That'd and she so would great. Talk to the team.
Why didn't she? My mom knows sports.
Yeah, she does. She'd give them a pep talk.
Yeah. She'd go, "How about a little more aggressive play in the corners? Would that kill you? You don't clean your room, and you don't dig the puck out without spending too much time in the corners, and then you get a stupid penalty."
Be great. It might be just what they need.
Could you play Tommy Wingles a little more? I'm sorry, who are you? I'm Mrs. Wingles. Mrs. Wingles sounds like she'd be a lovely woman, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're from the neighborhood, Wilmette.
And so. I love their sports bar, Tommy Wingles. It's really
interesting.
Yeah,
I think that's
best.
Great. Yeah. I think he has to own one.
That'll be fun. And Mrs. Wingles is represented here only as an example. I know nothing.
Correct.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Brunch, too. We love brunch. My wife loves that. The trendy places, the one-word title, she always comes up to me, "Let's go to toast." "I want to go to plate." "Fork." "Yolk." "Napkin." How are these people naming the restaurants? Just playing I Spy? $14 ramen, why don't you call it Rip? I'm serious. She took me to this place called Toast to kick off the meal, to bring out the water. Guess what's in my water? Slice of cucumber floating right there at the top. I'm like, okay, I hate this place. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but guess what I don't like in my water? Food. It's like, what, are you trying to sneak a vegetable in my diet? Like my mom's in the back? Smash up some peas, put them in his hash browns.
Pat McGann. Dude's funny, which is good because he's going to be on Stephen Colbert tomorrow night, and the idea is he better be funny. Did a couple of Lettermans. But then Letterman left the show. I'm not saying the two are related, but Pat's been a friend for a long time. You planning on getting Colbert off the air soon?
Yeah, I don't think so. He's pretty unstoppable right now.
How you doing, buddy?
I think he's good. How are you?
Doing fine, doing fine. Excited
big,
for you.
Big week for me with shows with guys named Steve.
Yes. You'll be on Colbert tomorrow night, and then you're going to hustle back, because when are we doing the benefit? Is that the 19th?
Yes. Sunday, November 19th at Zanies in Rosemont.
Is that sold out yet, do you know?
Close. No, there's still some tickets available. It's for the Curate Foundation. You can go to curatefoundation.org. I think it's /comedy, but they have a link right there on their site at curatefoundation.org. And it's great. We got a nice showcase again like we've had. I know you've been a part of it the last few years, which means a lot to us. And we got some great comics lined up, and all the proceeds go towards helping families that are facing pediatric cancer.
I mean, you've gone through it. You deal with it. How is your little guy?
He's doing well. He really is. His treatment plan calls for treatment until end of March, but he's doing really well. He's four. He's in preschool, and he's a blast. He's doing really good.
Yeah, that's God bless you, man. That's a great news to hear. And isn't it cool with little kids? They don't like being sick, but they, as soon as they feel better, they're not going to fake it. They're going to just go, well, let's go have some fun.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, I have to sit down if I have, like, a headache. I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm whining. I'm not as tough as him. Yeah, they are very resilient. And we see all the kids at the clinic. We meet all these families. It's really opened up our eyes to a whole other world that you don't really want to be a part of. But once you're part of it, you know, everyone's pulling the rope in the same direction. And it's special, you know.
No doubt.
In a weird way, it's really special.
And your wife is good?
She is. Yeah.
Okay. Tell her I said hello. I look forward to seeing you guys. In the meantime, when did the Colbert thing come up?
Just last week. I had submitted a set, and then it kind of, you know, it takes a while. And then they sprung it on me last week. They're like, are you available next Wednesday? I'm like, yeah, let's do it.
Wouldn't it be funny if you said, no, that's not good for me?
Yeah. No. I'm doing a guest spot at Zany's on Wells.
Right. I'm trying out some new things. Maybe you come see me. Why do I have to come to New York? Why don't you come see me?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be fun. It's back in that theater atmosphere where Letterman was. It's the same spot, so hopefully that'll be make things a little bit more comfortable.
Yeah. It's like your good luck charm. And, you know, Colbert, because of his Northwestern and his Second City ties, he spent a lot of time here, so I'm guessing you guys can talk a little Chicago.
Yeah, we're going to bond over Chicago. We'll talk WGN radio.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, Colbert, big.
He seems
fan.
Like such a good dude. Yeah. I think he's one of 11.
Yeah, he lost a couple of family members, but he comes from a huge family. And also, here's the weird part. Colbert's from South Carolina.
Yeah.
It's like if you said, I'll give you 50 states, pick the one Colbert's from. South Carolina wouldn't make the list.
Exactly. It always blows my mind on those huge families, because, like, I have three, and I talk about it in my act about how hard it is. But, like, those families back then, like, one of 11, like, how do you have your 11th? You're just like, hey, I got six of them down. We get these other four tuckered out, and I'm going to ravage you.
Right. Hang on to something, honey, because here I come, right yeah, after my nap. So what's Thanksgiving like at your house? Does one of the family, everybody in town, who hosts?
We're going to host this year. My parents just moved from my childhood home. That's a thing to go through.
Wow.
Yeah. So we're going to host Thanksgiving, but we're not going to be, you know, we don't cook like all them. We're probably going to cater some stuff and then build around it with some appetizers. You know, we'll make some guacamole.
Well, yeah, of course. Here's the thing. Your house gets sold. This is the house you grew up in?
Yes.
So did you look at them and go, well, not my room, right? You can sell the rest of the house, but not my room.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's tough. But, you know, that's a selfish reaction, right? For them, it's good. They can close that chapter together, and they're excited about getting a smaller place.
Did you get buyer approval? Like, every female wants photo approval. Did you get buyer approval?
I was not as involved in the process as I thought I might have been.
Go, Mom, I live there, too.
They didn't consult me. Yeah. They didn't care at all.
So how many
generations different, you know, like those people, they value stuff, like they're into that. Like they spend a lot of time looking, and, you know, I'm just not like that. We don't seem to value things as much, you know.
So everything in your life is disposable. Yeah. You're just throwing stuff out right and left.
you know, when you like you have a frying pan, you don't want to scrape, and you're just like, "How much was this? $20? Just toss it." You know, we don't cook.
There'll be a new one. We get a new one.
Yeah, what, you're going to be a target in a half hour. Just get another one.
What do I want to do? Get out of this chair or get a new frying pan? Come on, be serious.
Right.
Do you?
We don't even like. I can't keep up with my wife's diet. She's like, you know, every I don't know. Her and her friends are always trying these like detox cleanse. She's like, how about no more dairy? The other night she like announced that. No more dairy. It's like, do we have to go that far? How about no peanut butter cups till Wednesday?
Right.
Before we throw all the milk and half out.
You know, it's funny because you're in really good shape, but yet you eat like a 9-year-old, don't you?
I do eat a lot, yeah. And I'm not in great shape.
Well,
it's, that, it's the Spanx, man.
Well, your wife's
my all-star Spanx for Colbert tomorrow, man.
Your wife's in great shape, and yet she's the one that wants to diet.
Yeah, well, they get caught up in the fads, and yeah, I don't eat that well, but it's hard to, you know, when you got little kids and you just and I travel a lot, it's tough to eat well.
Here's the thing that I find difficult, and Dave eats really well, Dave Bennett, and I don't know how you do it, Dave, but. And I've been eating better lately, but still, the biggest problem I have is there's, I don't know if you've noticed, there's food everywhere.
Especially here.
Yeah. I mean, if you're hungry, food's findable.
Yes,
you can get there. And if you're hungry and you got a little cash, well, the bad stuff is right at your doorstep. So,
right.
But you know what helps?
I'm sure Dave has a spread in front of him all the time, all the games he does. They probably have stuff in the press box.
They do, but you know what? I never eat that stuff. I mean, it's like I see guys just before a game just chowing down. I just can't. I don't know, it's nervous energy or something.
You'll be burping it up while you're doing the play.
I mean, it would be one concern, yeah.
Ted Phillips slings you over his shoulder and starts patting your back. Yeah. How old were you when you got serious, Dave Bennett, about eating right?
Probably my teens, I'm
thinking. You're kidding. Well, life.
No, probably a little later than that. Probably my early 20s.
You have no idea how many people hate you now.
Well, it's not. I mean, I'm not saying I never cheat or never get tempted.
No, but I just as a joke, Pat McGann, I bought Dave a kale and spinach bar, and he was like, I got him a Christmas present. It's like, this is the stuff.
It's got,
this
look
should
at
be
this.
A punishment.
Pat, it's got pineapple, banana, kale, spinach.
Yeah.
It's got 2 servings of fruit. It's gluten-free, which I'm not that
Cook
concerned
County,
about
you know,
that.
Cook County Jail? Sheriff Dart uses that as punishment.
I thought kale was spinach. Like, how do you even know the difference?
But tastes better.
Right. We grew vegetables this summer. My wife was like, you know, and that's how you know when you're getting like old and your life's getting boring, you start gardening and we're growing vegetables. And I was like against it at first. And then it was like, oh, this is fulfilling, like watering them, watch them grow, and then bring them in the house and watch them die on the kitchen counter. You can't even go through that stuff. It's like, why are we even, we're 2 blocks from a grocery store, live in the city. It's like, I'm not going to be concerned about my crops.
They garden, let them garden.
Yeah.
Plus, it's in a nice, easy package, and they'll put it in a bag. You just have to give them money. We just walk over there and give them money, and they give us food.
There's too many rabbits and squirrels in our neighborhoods. Like, you don't even have a chance. This rabbit was eating all our stuff, and then it's like, I didn't even care. My neighbor's like, you should kill that thing. I'm like, I'm not going to shoot a rabbit. He's like, you could poison it. So I was like, it's not my lover. Like, that sounds so intimate.
It'd be weird to have a mob hit on a bunny in your lawn.
Yeah, that's a good lesson for the kids too. Come on out, we're gonna murder today.
You know, I pulled in the driveway once when my kids were little at my parents' house, and I got a snake problem. I don't know about you, but the snakes freak me out. And there was a snake in the grass. There was a snake in the grass as I got out of the car, and the kids are, I don't know, 2 and 5, 2 and 6 maybe. And I got out of the car, I saw the snake, and I didn't want them to have my snake issues, so I tried to be cool around it. You know, I was like, kids, stay right there. Stay right there. And I had to get... I had him get back in the car like the snake was going to pounce, right, and eat the entire car. It was probably no more than 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 inches long. In my mind, it was a rainforest boa constrictor. And I grabbed a shovel. I was able to get to a shovel, and I was just going to, like, scoop the snake up and toss him into the wilderness because it was nearby. Instead, I killed that snake in ways you couldn't imagine, right in front of the kids.
And then left him there as a message to others. Is this when you lived in Australia, Steve?
It was.
Where the heck do you live? I don't see snakes around my neighborhood, man.
It was. Yeah, I was in the outback for a period of time. All right. When are you leaving for New York?
A couple hours. I'm going to my favorite place, Midway, which is the best airport.
They still have that announcer you like?
Yeah, it's got the announcer. I just love it. It's just like in the, you know, you're skimming over those bungalows, like looking in people's houses, like eating dinner. Like, sorry, I'm just trying to get home, you know? There's a wiffle ball in your gutter. The best is taking a cab there because they're always like, what airlines? Like, dude, there's two doors. Just drop me off. I'm good.
That's right. That's
right. All right, so how much time do you get tomorrow night? Typical 6-7 minutes?
It's going to be 5.
5 minutes, okay.
5 minutes, yeah.
And you mentioned getting older. Do you know what time the show starts? Because if I were you, I would have negotiated for an earlier show.
Right. It's 10:30.
Yeah.
Chicago time, 10:30 Central.
Or as I like to call it, the middle of the night.
Right. Yeah, well, for you, geez, you're up. What time do you leave the house?
Well, we get up at 4. Yeah, 4 a.m. Yep. But I'm going to make an exception for you. Because
snake. Strangle a snake and head out.
I'm going to make an exception for you. I want to see you live. So I'm going to watch tomorrow night, and I'll be laughing and pointing at you. And proud of you, buddy. That's a very cool thing.
I appreciate it, man. Well, thanks. You guys have been so good to me over the years, and I really appreciate your involvement with Curate Foundation, and looking forward to seeing you on the 19th.
Don't forget about that benefit now, curatefoundation.org. You'll just see a link right up front for Pat McGann, and it tells you something about how people love Pat, because every decent comedian in the area comes out. And some of them,
John DeCosta is going to come with you on the 19th, as he always does. You guys do such a great job running the raffle and auction, and just make it funny, and it's a good night. It really is.
It is a good night. So if you can get one of the last few tickets, I hope you do. Break a leg, buddy.
Thanks so much, Steve. Take care, guys.
See you later. Great Pat McGann. On top of being super funny, a nice guy.
Very nice guy. Very funny.
And a great family.
And huge White Sox fan.
Yeah, I didn't want to bring it up. It's a rough year.
Oh, I think he should be encouraged about the future.
All right, I'm with you on that. I'll go with that.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Yeah. It's 9:25. We're back with more in a moment as we continue on CLTV and 720 WGN. Before we go any further, do you know this is Election Day? It was November 8th, but technically, is today the 7th? Or today?
Today's the 7th.
Yeah, so tomorrow's the one-year anniversary of the Trump era.
The election.
What is 1 year? Well, technically, it is 1 year today. 1 year today would wrap it up.
Right.
Why does 1 year feel like 10 years of my life have passed? You know, think time flies when you're having fun? No, not so much. But this is a big election day in a couple places, specifically for the Democrats in Virginia, because they have a pretty good feeling about winning the governor's mansion. Virginia Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam has been a heavy favorite. It's down to single digits, but Ed Gillespie would be an upset winner if he does win. Meanwhile, in New Jersey, how'd you like to follow Chris Christie? I can open the beach for me. Mr. I can close the bridge on you. The Lieutenant Governor Kim Guadagno, she is a distant second to the New Jersey Democratic gubernatorial nominee Phil Murphy, who is expected to win in a romp today. And then you got the Alabama Senate race as well, where Roy Moore, who has said former Chief Justice for Alabama, has said some ridiculous things. And Mitch, I'm torn on this one because I think Roy Moore's a nut, but Mitch McConnell really doesn't want Roy Moore to win. And I like it when bad things happen to Mitch McConnell. So I don't know where to go with that one. But that's some of the stuff that's happening today in politics. 9:31. You're on a plane. You've probably been delayed. You ever been delayed because the wife found out the husband was having an affair? That story coming up before Bill and Wendy at 10 on 720 WGN, where the big story is next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a riddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
9:43, it's our friend Orion Samuelson. Still with us, how are you?
Oh, doing okay. Hope you are too.
Yeah, all good here. All good. And happy November. Somebody asked me a question the other day that made me laugh, and I've never asked you this. And yes. I don't think Dave knows the answer either, and Dave's known you longer than I have. Orion Samuelson, what's your favorite farm animal?
My favorite farm animal?
Your favorite farm animal.
The dairy cow.
The dairy cow.
Yeah.
But I would have said.
Oh, really? Now that he answered it, sure, Dave would have guessed dairy cow. All right, well, let's see. Let's try this one. What's Orion's second favorite farm animal? Let's go with Dave. What is Orion's second favorite farm animal?
Second favorite, I would say a pig.
A pig?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say you're right.
Unbelievable. What a run, Dave Ennett's on. Control the board, Dave. What's Orion's sixth favorite farm? Suddenly it's a Sesame Street episode. Listen, it seems to be that time of year where we're watching the markets more closely, but we survived October without any sort of October surprise, right?
We really did, and the only surprise for agriculture, I think, is the fact that corn harvest has been much slower than usual this year because of the long planting season in spring because of the rains. And then when we got the heat spell in August and September, it began to dry down the corn, and farmers didn't have to pay a lot of money for propane gas to dry it down before they put it in the bin. So, yeah, it's been a pretty good year so far, and there may be some corn still in the fields by Thanksgiving, but there was a time before we got the huge harvesting equipment that we have now. There was a time that a farmer's goal in the Midwest was to have the combine parked by Thanksgiving Day so they could enjoy the holiday with family. And we've pretty much done that. And this year, well, there may be a few fields left when the snow flies in the Dakotas and Nebraska and places like that.
But in snowy winter weather climates, it's Thanksgiving until when for farmers, where they can kick back a little bit?
Thanksgiving, generally, by early December, you want to be all done and getting ready for Christmas and the holidays and that. And then, of course, right away, well, right now you're in the midst of planning for next season. What varieties have done well in my corn and soybean fields this year? What seeds should I be looking at for planting next year? So even though there's probably a physical slowdown, there is not a mental slowdown. They're always thinking about what's next and how do we prepare for those things that maybe are unexpected to be next.
So. Any politics in the ag business this week you're concerned about?
Always politics, but I tell you what, I want to take a moment because this is the week, you know, every profession has its organizations, corn growers and soybean growers and all that. Well, farm broadcasters like Max Armstrong and me, we have our group. It's called the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Sure.
Been around since the mid-50s. I think I'll probably get my 56th or 57th annual certificate of membership this week, because this week is the convention. And Max Armstrong is retiring at the end of his year as president, and I do want to pay tribute to Max. You know, we've worked together over four decades, and we finally talked him into running for the presidency of the National Association of Farm Broadcasting a year ago. He went along with the idea, and so this week in Kansas City, starting Wednesday, farm broadcasters will come together, and Friday night we'll pay tribute to President Max and First Lady Linda.
Well, it's a good thing. That's great. Congratulations
really
to Max.
Yeah, and he has done a great job. He really has, but I would expect nothing different from Max.
Mr. Smarty Pants, Dave Ennett, sitting here. Okay, Dave, do you know how much of a cow is actually used for beef and food? How much of the cow? Percentage. Give me a percentage. Mr. I know everything.
Well, I didn't say I know everything.
Oh, yeah, you did. How much of the cow? How much of the cow is used for food? Percentage.
Percentage?
Yeah.
30.
60% of the cow.
You got said that. 60. Yeah.
60% of the cow. 40% is used for other stuff. Can you tell me one byproduct of cow stuff? I don't want to bog you down with a bunch of scientific terms here, but the cow parts that aren't used for food, what do they make out of them?
Well, there's cow hide, different...
Oh, don't get it. Cow...
What? Okay. Big O, am I not correct? Cowhide does get used.
Yeah, cowhide is important, but I think medicine might be even more
medicine.
Important than cowhide.
Medicine made out of the cow stuff.
Like what?
Insulin.
Yes. Really?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
insulin. Yeah.
Okay.
A bovine insulin is nearly identical to humans.
I did not know that.
Yeah. You got a lot of cows walking around that are, you know, pre-diabetic and need to take a little off for the holidays. There's also a lubricant and antifreeze, hydraulic brake fluids, and jet engines.
Yep.
Biofuel.
Boy, you've been doing your homework, Steve.
This is all off the top of my head.
Okay.
Creams, cosmetics, soaps. How about toothpaste?
Yep.
Toothpaste.
So is it an ingredient that's used by the companies that make all the different brands of toothpaste, though?
Yes.
All right. So anytime you brush your teeth, you put a little Bessie in there with you.
Yep.
Get a little something from Bessie in there with you.
Nice.
And then can I correct one other bit of misinformation in livestock?
Sure. What is it?
Well, you know, we always say, you're eating like a pig because you know, putting on weight and all that, eating like a pig. If we were to, as humans, eat like a pig, we would balance our ration with everything that we need because you can put several different pans of ingredients that pigs need for gaining weight and all that sort of thing, and they will go from pan to pan balancing their budget, their diet. They don't eat like a pig in the terms that we think of it. They're really a very smart animal when it comes to diet.
That's why the pig is Orion's second favorite farm animal.
Yes. What is Orion's ninth favorite farm animal? Orion had a lot of time on the farm. He could sit down. He could rank his farm animals back in the day.
No, I was busy feeding them and throwing down silage and taking hay and water to them. Right,
Dave. Have you ever been to a decent sized farm for Christmas? Christmas on a farm is tremendous.
No, I never.
It really is. You're always going to have a great tree.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got to have great food, obviously.
Always.
Houses decorated up. Usually,
and outside, barns decorated,
yeah.
And churches decorated in the country.
But you got people that will drive and go through, you know, high-end gated developments where, you know, people are decorating up their houses. That's all well and good. But you want to see some great decorations for Christmas? Head down 80, get a little bit into farm country, take one of the exits, and just drive by 10 or 12 farms. You'll see.
I have to do that.
Yeah, and do it after dark.
Yeah.
Because they put up great lighting displays. There are some farm homes in the country that are unbelievable when it comes to decoration and theme. So.
That's what I'm talking about, Al. You know me. I love the farmer.
I know you do, and I'm grateful that you do, my friend, because without farmers and ranchers, we wouldn't be around very long.
You can tell Trump loves a farmer. His pants are getting bigger. nice to talk to you again, buddy. We'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, see you next week.
That's Orion Samuelson. And I bet when, I don't know about you, when I get stopped and ask questions about the station, I bet 9 times out of 10 people ask about Orion.
And what about the 10th time?
They ask about his favorite animal. Yeah, his favorite animal of the list. Thanks for the setup. 9:52, Bill and Wendy coming up on 720 WGN. Bill and Wendy saddling up here. I promised you I'd do that story about the woman on the airplane. So, Dave, you're riding the airplane, right? You're minding your own business,
yes.
Right? Everything seems fine.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, there seems to be some trouble, and Bill and Wendy are here now as a husband and wife are having a disagreement. The disagreement's getting louder. And then she slaps the crap out of him for about a half an hour before the plane diverts and lands at another airport.
No one was supposed to get wind of this story about me. Darn it. How'd it get out?
Here's what happened. The woman waited till her husband fell asleep. She was holding his hand and took his fingerprint to open his phone and confirm her suspicions that he was having an affair.
Ingenious.
Yes.
He deserves to be slapped.
Slap the crap out of him, Wendy. The Qatar Airlines flight that they were traveling on was forced to make an emergency landing in India. She hit her husband all the way down the jetway to the airport, and then proceeded to get drunk at the airport before they would put her back on a plane. They insisted she get sober. The husband got back on the plane with her.
He did.
Brave man.
Yeah.
Or stupid man.
At which point she opened the back door and threw him out at 30,000 feet. So did we learn anything from that story?
Yeah, not really.
Wear gloves when you take a nap.
Always. That's the one. I was looking for the lesson. Thank you for clearing it up.
You're
wear gloves while you're napping.
Do you get frequent slapper miles? I don't know how that works. You probably do, would.
Yeah,
you would. You would.
You ever been around a couple that just really isn't getting along?
Oh, yes.
I mean, really?
Yes.
Not getting along? It's not comfortable. Uncomfortable.
No.
I don't think I have, really.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, not a lot of fun. Or it was me.
It might be
I'll be back tomorrow. See you then.